This is session number 65 of the Gospel according to John. Last time we finished John chapter 9, and today we'll be coming to John chapter number 10. In John chapter 9, we saw Jesus heal the man who was blind since birth. We saw the reaction of the healing, how he was brought before the Pharisees and the council and the synagogue, and how ultimately that council and those Pharisees cast him out of the synagogue for standing up for the truth and the wonderful miracle of what Christ had just done for him. We then saw at the end of the chapter how Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came to find the cast out sheep, and how he ultimately revealed himself to that man so that man could come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And we saw the fruit of that genuine faith in Jesus as Christ and Son of God was revealed as that man fell on his face and worshiped Christ. The chapter then ended with the Pharisees questioning Christ as to whether or not they were blind, and with Jesus revealing the truth that they're not truly blind, but that they are willfully blind. Now, it's just ironic because in chapter 9, Jesus revealed that he is the light of the world. But these people had no interest in seeing and walking in that light. Just like back in the beginning of the book, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. So it's ironic, they're coming to Jesus to debate and fight with him, but they're not coming to Jesus to submit and believe and obey and follow him. There's a difference. And so in chapter 10, Jesus is going to continue speaking to these Pharisees and to those who are around him and his disciples as well, to all that are present. And so for the first 21 verses, he's going to continue to teach this group of people. So that's the first section of chapter 10, is Jesus continuing to teach in verses 1 through 21. And this passage will break down into three parts. The first part will be the parable of the door, the sheep, and the shepherd, found in verses 1 through 6. Then we'll see the interpretation of the parable, found in verses 7 through 18. And then lastly, we'll see the reaction of the parable in verses 19 through 21. After this, the second section of this chapter will be Jesus being confronted at the Feast of Dedication. So this will be a couple months later when he's back in Jerusalem. And this will cover the portion from verses 22 through 39. We'll see the setup and the initial confrontation in verses 22 through 24. We'll see Jesus teaching more instruction, more doctrine in verses 25 through 38. And then ultimately we'll see Jesus escaping from the hands of the Pharisees and Jews who want to kill him in verse 39. And the last section of this chapter is just the final three verses, verses 40 through 42, where Jesus is going to retire beyond Jordan. He's going to leave Jerusalem and retire beyond Jordan. Okay, before we get into the passage and the text, let me give you some key points that are found in this chapter, John chapter 10. This is a gem of a chapter. The first point is we're going to see Jesus is the only door of the sheep. This will be the fourth I am, the I am the door of the sheep. The second key point is we're going to see that Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep. And this will be the fifth I am of the gospel according to John, when Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. All else are thieves and robbers. The sheep hear Christ's voice, not the voice of other shepherds. And he's going to lay down his life for the sheep, and he's going to take it again. And Jesus is going to be the one who gives eternal life to his sheep, and they will never perish. The third key point is that Jesus and his Father are one. It's a great statement, power statement, and really going to provoke the Jews to expose their hatred and murderous hearts. And the fourth key point that I find in this chapter is, if you can't believe in Jesus Christ, if you're still at the point where you can't really understand his words, they don't make sense, you don't believe, well then believe the works of Christ. Start with the works. We'll look at that more later in the chapter when we get there, but that's a key point. Okay. So as I said, the first section of this chapter is going to be the first 21 verses, and the first part of that first section is going to be the first 6 verses, which will be the parable of the door, the sheep, and the shepherd. And so remember, this teaching is just rolling in from chapter 9. So remember, he just healed the blind man. The blind man has been cast out of the synagogue. Jesus has found the former blind man and revealed himself to him. The Pharisees now start coming at him. Are we blind also? And now Jesus is responding, and he's going to speak this parable, and then he will give the interpretation thereof. Let's start with these first 6 verses of John chapter number 10. And Lord, please open our hearts and our eyes to receive and see and believe the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So that's the parable of the door, the good shepherd, the sheep, the porter. Now Jesus is going to interpret most of this parable, or much of the key elements of this parable, in the following verses, and not just interpret, but also expound some wonderful truths about these key elements and characters in his parable. But if we didn't have the interpretation, which thank God we do, by the grace of God, with the Spirit of God, and with the example of Christ interpreting other parables in the Scriptures, especially Matthew chapter 13, that's a great help, we see that the way to interpret parables is just to take each part, each piece, each key character, each key element, and just lay out what it is and then identify what the interpretation is, what it's representing. So when we look at this parable, the key elements, the key characters are first the thief and robber. And the information that's given us about the thief and robber is that he doesn't enter in through the door, but he climbs up some other way into the sheepfold. Okay. The second key element would be the door to the sheepfold, and it's implied that there's only one door. The third key element would be the sheepfold itself. Then there is the shepherd of the sheep, and some of the information about the shepherd of the sheep is that he enters in by the door. The porter opens up for him to come in, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name, and he leads them out. The fifth key element would be the porter. And the porter is the man who opens the door for the shepherd. The sixth key element would be the sheep of the shepherd. And again, the sheep, they follow the shepherd. They know the voice of the shepherd. And then the last key element is the stranger, who the sheep will not follow because they don't know his voice or the voice of strangers. So it could be the stranger or multiple strangers. And it appears there's a distinction between the thief and the robber, or the thieves and robbers and the stranger. Okay, so what you do to interpret a parable is you take each part, you write it down on a sheet of paper. This is what we got. Bing, 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 bing. Write down all the information that you can get that's given in that parable about those different key elements or characters. And then you start going through it piece by piece, and you pray for the Holy Ghost to give you proper interpretation. Now, obviously, it's always easier when Christ interprets the parable for you. Although in this one, he's not going to open up every aspect of the parable. There's a few things he leaves open. But yes, it's always easier if the interpretation is given in the scriptures, but not all parables or visions that are given in the scriptures are interpreted for us. So it's required to have wisdom and understanding from the Lord and to be guided by the Spirit of the Lord into the proper interpretation of the parable, kind of like is revealed in the initial introduction of the book of Proverbs. That's why God has given us the fear of the Lord, so that we might have the wisdom and the understanding of the Lord, so that we might know these interpretations. Okay, let's go through this passage verse by verse, these first six verses. So we're just going to kind of observe and make some points here. First thing, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Amen, hallelujah, praise God. We are continuing to hear Christ's doctrine, what he says. And then we need the word of Christ to wash us and make us clean. That's what Ephesians chapter 5 reveals, that he wants to wash and sanctify and cleanse his bride through his word. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door." That just makes me think of that scripture in Matthew 7, verse 13, when Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then Jesus calls us as human beings to enter into the straight gate, not to go the way of the wide gate unto destruction. So here he says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold." Well, then we know where his end's going to be, this person he's talking of. He says, "but climbeth up." In Luke 18, verse 14, the second half of the verse, Jesus said, "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased." That means brought low. "And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now this guy, he's climbing up. He's exalting himself, but climbeth up, right? Remember the Tower of Babel back in Genesis 11. They're going to build themselves a tower that's going to reach up to heaven. Didn't work out so well for them, did it? Remember back in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, the heart of Lucifer was, "I will ascend up. I will exalt myself. I will exalt my throne. I'll sit up there." Well, we know it's not going to work out too well for Lucifer, as God said, "Yeah, but you'll be thrust down to hell." In the book of Amos, God speaks about the rebellious children of Israel. And in chapter 9, verse 2, he says, "Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down." Scriptures are clear. If you try to climb up, if you try to exalt yourself, God's going to bring you down. And so here's this man who's climbing up. And then Jesus says, but climbeth up some other way. Now later in John 14, verse 6, Jesus will say, I am the way. But no, this guy's climbing up some other way. Reminds me of Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This man who won't enter in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, Jesus is the same as a thief and a robber. In Luke 10, verse 30, Jesus tells a story about a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. He says, this man, he's a thief and he's a robber. He's trying to get into the sheepfold another way. But then back in John 10, verse 2, he says, but he that entereth in by the door. Amen. But he. Love that key word in the scriptures, but he that entereth in. In Hebrews 6, verse 19 through 20, it talks about the hope that we have that entereth in, into the veil, within. And it says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made our high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In chapter 9, verse 24 of Hebrews, it says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. It says, but he that entereth in. Entereth in how? By the door. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 20, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. What's the veil? That is to say, his flesh. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Read Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord God, Jehovah, speaks to the nation of Israel, and he speaks against the pastors that have not visited his flock, that have scattered his flock, that have not sought out the wounded and the weak of the flock and healed them and bound them up. No, but the ones that just abused the flock and took advantage of the flock for themselves. And in verse 11, the Lord God of Israel says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. It says, I will find them. John 10, verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then in verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth. The porter. Now Jesus will give the interpretation of most of the parable in the following verses, but he doesn't explain who the porter is. So the porter is the one that opens for the good shepherd, for the shepherd of the sheep. So I'm just going to give you some possibilities. The porter possibly in the spiritual realm could be the Spirit of God or even Christ himself. In Revelation 3, verses 7 through 8, we see that Jesus is the one who has the key of David, who opens and no man shuts, and he shuts and no man opens. But then what's interesting is then in verse 13, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So Christ is speaking, and yet it's his Spirit that's speaking. And he's the one who can open and shut. In Acts 14, verse 27, it talks about when Paul and Barnabas and the company came back to Antioch after they fulfilled their first missionary journey. And it says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. says to him, that's the shepherd, the porter openeth. So it could be the Spirit of God. And obviously God working in his Spirit opening up. The porter could also refer to John the Baptist in the context of the fold of Israel. Because we know from Matthew 3 verse 3 and from John 1 verse 29 through 36, John the Baptist really was the one who went before Jesus to prepare the way for Christ into the nation of Israel. And so in essence, he opened the door into the fold of Israel for Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole purpose of his ministry was to prepare people so that they could finally see who their Messiah was. But those are just some thoughts about who the porter might be. But let's get back to the text in John 10. It says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now we're going to get a bunch of things about the shepherd and the sheep and the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. First thing we see is the sheep hear his voice. That's the voice of the shepherd. And then we see that he calleth his own sheep by name. He calls them. Amen. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. He calls his own sheep by name. In Revelation 2, he talks about those who overcome, that he'll give them a white stone, and in that stone a new name written that no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Many leadeth them out. Paul talks about going forth without the camp to bear his reproach in Hebrews chapter 13. He leadeth them out. In verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, so again, he leads them out, he puts them forth, makes sure they're all out, then what does he do? He goeth before them. So he's leading the way for the sheep. He's not driving the sheep in front of him, but he is going before them. He is leading the way. He is setting the example. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ is the first fruits. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Amen. Christ the first fruits blazed the trail, set the perfect example, paved the way. And it says that the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Hallelujah. They follow the shepherd. Why? Because they know his voice. This is a key thing. Just like the scripture we just read in Revelation 3, verse 13. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him hear what the Spirit saith. They know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So again, quick summary. The sheep, they hear his voice. He calls them by name. He leads them out of the sheepfold. And he goes before them. And they follow him. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. And they will not follow a stranger. But not only will they not follow a stranger, but they'll actually flee from a stranger because they don't know the voice of strangers. In 1 John chapter 4, John the Apostle said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. He said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. They flee from the voice of strangers because they don't know the voice of strangers. And after Jesus told the parable, John the Apostle wrote back in John 10, verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." That's pretty much the story of Christ's doctrine. It seems like most of the things that Jesus Christ taught, the people that were there present, and especially the scribes and Pharisees and chief priests, they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And especially when Jesus spoke in parables. And yet, Christ's doctrine is true, and it is pure, and it is perfect. And when Jesus Christ speaks, his word is clear, it is straightforward, it is orderly, it is precise, it is direct. He's not speaking in enchantments and in mutterings and in perverse disputings and in confusing mysticism. No. He speaks a parable, straightforward, direct. Everybody could understand on the earthly level that what Jesus was saying was common sense. But what they couldn't understand is the hidden meaning behind his parable. Because he purposely hid those things from them. Listen, Jesus is the light of the world. But the scripture says that God hides himself in thick darkness. Only those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts prepared can press through the darkness into his marvelous light and rejoice in the marvelous light of Christ's word and spirit and doctrine and life. But like the book of Proverbs says, to understand a proverb or a parable and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings are the only way you can understand. As verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so Jesus tells this parable, and it's straightforward. Everybody understands on the common sense level what he's saying. But he's hidden the true light of what he's trying to reveal in this parable, which in a sense acts as a cloud of darkness surrounding the light. And he does that purposely because he's not here to cast pearls to the swine. He's not here to give that which is holy to the dogs. And so only those who choose the fear of the Lord will be able to press through that darkness of, I'm not really sure what he's saying. I'm not really sure. Okay, he told us that story. Yeah, but what's the real meaning behind it? Only those who choose the fear of the Lord. Those who stop worrying about what people think. Those who stop worrying about what the religious leaders think. Those who stop worrying about what the leaders of the churches think. Those who stop worrying and are afraid of what will man do to me if I believe that he's the Christ, that he's the Messiah. No, those who reject the fear of man and choose the fear of the Lord. These are the only ones who will have the patience and the humility to press through the darkness of the lack of understanding to come into the marvelous light of the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the next session, we're going to see Jesus open up this parable. We're going to see it's beautiful. Jesus is not only the great shepherd of the sheep, but he's the door itself into the sheepfold. Man, it's going to all be about Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only one that could redeem, the only one that could save, and the only one that's worthy to lead the sheep to victory. This is session number 65 of the Gospel according to John. John chapter number 10, verses 1 through 6. Amen and amen.